5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to The On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I'm Abby.
I'm Bree.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. Welcome to our deep diving, series. This is not a series. This is a podcast. If you've not watched all of Grey's Anatomy before, I just want you to quick go back. Only takes, maybe a couple months, and watch every single episode of Grey's Anatomy through season 19 so that we don't spoil anything for you. Today, we are finishing up season 16.
Yep, we're on episode 20 and 21, Sing It Again and Put on a Happy Face. If you want to support the podcast, you can head to patreon.com/theoncallroom, and there you can pledge to be an intern, a resident, or an attending. And for each level, you get different bonus content. $2, you get to be in our Facebook group. $5, you get bonus episodes. $10, you get Zoom meetings with us, as well as what we call post-op. When we call time of death at the end of the episode, we will talk for, 5 to 10 minutes about something else. Tonight, we're going to talk about our overall thoughts and feelings about season 16.
Yep. Also, I was just thinking that we should try to do, it'd be fun to do our Zoom hangout, maybe like right before or right after the newest episode airs.
Great idea.
Probably before, because I feel like all the different time zones, like not everyone would have been able to see it yet. But before would be really fun to give predictions about how they write Ellen Pompeo out or something like that. So stay tuned. The Zoom hangouts are always really fun. They always end chaotically, which I love. And I just feel like it's a really lovely group of people, especially if you don't have friends who still watch this show. It's fun to talk to other people who do and are honestly just silly, funny people. So look forward to that. You can also support us by rating and reviewing us anywhere you listen, Spotify, iTunes, wherever. 5 scalpels, please. We really appreciate that. And if you do want to reach out to us about anything in particular, you can do so on our website, www.theoncallroompod.com, or on Instagram at theoncallroompod. We love hearing and seeing where you are listening to the show. So tag us in your stories of where that happens. It makes me really happy to see it.
And I think that's all of the housekeeping. The one other thing I do want to say that's kind of housekeeping is when, like, right before we started recording and we were talking about post-op and our overall thoughts on season 16, I was blown away. It just hit me that we have finished season 16. I don't know, but if it feels this way to you, but it feels like we were just doing a post-op on season 15, like as a whole.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think obviously it's a little bit shorter of a season, but not, I mean, aren't there usually like that much? There's like 24 usually, maybe.
Yeah, so it's like three, so like maybe one podcast episode shorter. That doesn't.
No. And then I did the math of like, if we continue to do 3 episodes per week, and it's about 9 weeks until we are on season 19, if we do it that way, which is insanity. So, and we've kind of talked, we were sort of talking last night, you and I, but just like, we have already done some episodes of season 17, albeit they were like our initial reactions. They weren't deep dives by any like means. And we were in the pandemic at the same time. So I haven't gone back and listened to those at all, but I kind of want to. And also I'm just we're very like open-minded in thinking about how we're going to move forward in season 17 and 18 and 19, because we've talked about a lot of it before.
Yeah. So stick around. Obviously, we don't know how exactly or what exactly that's going to look like. I feel like by the time that you are listening to this episode, we will have announced on our, again, follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod, whether or not we're taking like a week off in between seasons or if we're jumping right into it, you'll have that information.
Yeah, for sure. And also, if you have any, like, if you just, if there's something like you'd like to hear us talk about or you just have like an idea, please share it with us. Like, we love feedback and you guys are sometimes extremely creative and have such great thoughts. So we're going to do this how we want to do it, but we also do like your input. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I do think it'll be interesting to rewatch season 17 though, because I was so negative about it at the time. Mm-hmm. Because I was just like, and I still am pandemic fatigued, but especially in that time. And so I do wonder how we sometimes do the thing where it ends up being a little bit better than we thought. It's still not, you know, seasons 1 through 5, but it's not as like horrible as we think. And so I'll be anxious to know how I feel about it rewatching it. I hope I just don't cry a lot. I don't feel like crying.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I'll feel. I know that initially I felt like it was all bullshit. So
yeah,
hopefully I have a better reaction this time around.
I will miss the shock of seeing Derek Shepherd on that beach.
That was one of the best kept secrets in entertainment history. I will say it. Like, none of us knew.
No, and like it doesn't mean that it was good, but it was a fun shock. Like, that is a fun thing in television when you're surprised.
It was, yeah, like we have photos of, because it was during the pandemic, so we were like not seeing each other and we were FaceTiming watching it.
Oh, yeah.
And yeah, and there's like photos of us like like making an oh my God face that we like screen grabbed, so.
Yeah, it was when, you're right. I can picture it was when we would like Zoom on silent and then, which was really fun. I remember too, the joy of like all of the pictures coming out on Instagram of like them filming together. And that was just like exciting. So it'll be fun to talk about, but.
Yeah, we shouldn't get too far ahead of ourselves.
I know. We got to finish season 16 first. Do you have anything you want to say that isn't Grey's Anatomy related? How do you feel after last night? Because we know last night was a moment for us.
Yeah, I feel great. Abby was a wonderful hostess of the mostest, and had some of us over to watch Top Gun Maverick. I hadn't seen it yet. And with award season coming up, I knew I need to get those movies in that I haven't seen. And I know it's a very important movie to you. And so John and I...
Which is a mystery, just which I want everyone to know, is a straight up mystery why I like it so much. I can't understand.
And so, I mean, you're not the only one. Literally, my mom does not go to the movies. My mom went and saw it in theaters and was like, it's the best movie I've ever seen. Which is insane that my mom said that. Like... Like, and I don't know if she still feels that way, but like my mom's MO is like a repeat VHS of my best friend's wedding. So for her to go and be like, Top Gun Maverick is where it's at. But we had like a pizza party. Jake burned off his eyelashes.
Oh my God.
Mustache.
Jake had a big fire. He has one of those uni pizza ovens. And I guess there was like the flour was on fire and he, let's just also keep in mind, listeners, I've not told this on the podcast, but Jake got hired by Grand Rapids Fire Department, which is incredible. It's been like his dream for the past 5 years. So really great news and the Moore Highbloom household. And you'd think that someone who is about to be a firefighter would know to not blow oxygen onto a fire, but he did. And he said a fireball came out. None of us saw this happen.
We were all inside.
We came in and I mean, the ends of his eyelashes and his mustache were curled and singed. And he has like long, beautiful eyelashes. Like, I feel like a lot of men do, which is just like, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
And they are gone on one eye specifically. Like, they're just tiny little nubs.
I mean, thank God. Like, he starts work in a week. Like, can you imagine if you would have been a burn victim? Like,
no, right before.
Right before. Like, oh my God, what happened to your face? Oh, I just like blew some oxygen on an uni pizza oven. And
I feel like they'd be like, you can't work here.
You can't actually do this job. So thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, so that was frightening and funny. And then this morning he texted us and was like, just if everyone was wondering, my eyebrows and mustache are still gone. Yeah. Which is, I was immediately afraid he was going to have to shave his mustache. Oh my God, I just had this memory. We were kissing last night.
Oh.
And he smelled like a bonfire.
Because he burned his hair.
Like, it was literally like, I was like, you smell like a bon, like you smell, not like, you smell like fire. You smell like a burnt fire.
Yeah. Yeah. That's.
So that's funny. But yeah, so I made a PowerPoint presentation about why I like Top Gun Maverick and things to not think about while you watch it to ensure that you have the best viewing experience. Like, you know, Scientology, forget about that. Toxic masculinity, not a problem. Just some other things, some other housekeeping to make sure that you are not like being too, what's the word I'm looking for?
Critical.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it's a movie you have to go in with and not be critical of. And it was great. I was in this place of like, I obviously hope everyone likes it, but I also was just very excited to watch it. And then we were all cozy on my couch. It was fun.
It was really great. You're such a great host. It was. Oh,
thank you. I learned from you.
Lovely home. And it was so cozy and it was fun to watch the movie. And yeah, it was a very fun movie. Like, I will say, and this has nothing to do with you or anyone, like, I think it's like the culture. I almost wish I would have seen this months and months ago, because the buildup, I was like, that was good. Like, and I would watch it again and it was super fun. But like, my mom telling me it's the best movie she's ever seen, I'm like, this has to be like outrageously good. And it was good. But like, I think too many people were chirping in my ear that it's like, it's so good. That like, I think there was a lot of like nostalgia too from like old Top Gun, which is great. And like, we watched that one. I mean, I've seen it before, but it'd been years. And so like, I like how they tied all that together. It was great. I think it was a great movie. I would even give it a 10 out of 10. I just was like, I think I was expecting something.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think also why I like it so much is I went to it in the theater with thinking it wouldn't be good. Like, I was like, that preview looks really exciting. I would like to go to the movie theater. This was also like, I think the Jurassic Park movie came out. You know, it's like a summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I always go see those Jurassic Park movies. They're terrible. But like, there's something about like an action movie in a theater that is just fun. And so I went to it with zero, like thinking it wouldn't be good. And I also think that's why I think it's so good, is that like my bar was so low.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, well, because there was like when I was going to see it in theaters, but I ended up not, which is totally fine. There, like the initial plans I had made, it was very much of like, this is a joke. Like, let's just go see this because it would be fun and I'm sure it's going to be awful. And then like the culture, everyone was like, no, dude, Tom Cruise is back and it's great. So, but it didn't take away from any of the fun that we had last night. So it was great.
Yeah, no. I am just so easily distracted by hot men. Like I just like love it. Like, give me Men in Aviators. Give me Miles Teller. I am so basic and I am so okay with it. Like, I just like, you know what I mean? I'm fine with the fact that me and a lot of other women feel the same.
Do you think that Tom Cruise is good looking?
I mean, has he aged well? Yeah. Like, for how old he is, for sure he's good looking. But he's not, I've never been like a big Tom Cruise, like he's so hot. That's never been my MO.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like he's in the same era of like the Clooneys and the Brad Pitts and the Matt Damons and Ben Affleck, and like, you know, much more a Clooney or like a Brad Pitt.
Sure.
Was like, I just never thought Tom Cruise was, I never watched his movies either. So I don't know.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Would you say they're all in the same? Would you put all those people in like the same? Like, they were like when we were growing up, male movie stars in our brains.
Yeah, I would say so. And okay. Definitely, like, I feel like at a certain age, like, I mean, you know, I was Orlando Bloom all the way, but
Oh, right.
But like with those like blockbuster, like big movie stars, I had a very serious Ben Affleck phase.
Oh, I get it.
And I like, do you remember the movie with him and Sandra Bullock, Forces of Nature?
No.
Oh, okay. That is going to be my PowerPoint. I'm going to talk to you about Forces of Nature. And I haven't seen it in years. It might be a really awful movie, but it was like, he was trying to get across the country somehow, something with his plane or, you know, like travel. And he was getting married and he ends up meeting up with Sandra Bullock somehow on this travel.
Well, that's going to ruin your wedding for sure if you meet up with Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. And there's this like back and forth, like, will they, won't they? And they're kind of trying to help each other get across the country. So I won't ruin it for you, but that's like.
No, don't. I'd love to watch it.
And that's, but that, like, I feel like Ben Affleck always plays that character, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he was in Pearl Harbor, which.
Oh, God. Was that Josh Hartnett also?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Josh, Wicker Park was. I own it on DVD, and I didn't own many movies on DVD, but I loved that movie so much. It's so weird. I don't know why.
That was a really weird, creepy movie, right?
Yeah, it's like he has a stalker.
Well, maybe you just really like Josh Hartnett.
I just thought he was super hot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And see, and I didn't, and I liked Ben Affleck, and so when Pearl Harbor came out, you know, it was the same thing like Twilight, like, which one do you like?
Ooh, I should watch Pearl Harbor tonight.
Do it. I'll watch it with you. I'll text you the entire time. It's great.
I really do love that movie.
The last thing I will say is if you don't feel like watching Pearl Harbor, just watch Faith Hill's music video, There You'll Be, because you'll see all of the like highlights from the movie. And she'll be in that parachute thing with that white dress on. Yeah.
I love a music video that is for a movie. That's also I sent you last night. The Lady Gaga Hold My Hand is basically all the great shots from that movie with her. Like, that's all you need to watch.
There's nothing better. There's really nothing better. But we should probably get into these episodes.
Yeah, I would say also it'd be really fun to make a movie or a playlist of music videos that are specifically for movies and just watch them.
Yeah.
That'd be fun. So, yeah, let's get into Grey's. We're going to finish up the season. We don't want to keep this too long for y'all. But we are talking today about season 16, episode 20 and 21, Sing It Again and Put on a Happy Face, which it is the finale. It was not intended to be the finale, but it
right.
was.
Okay.
So keep that in mind. All right, I'll read the first monologue.
Great.
Since our hospital is a teaching program, many of our patients allow their surgeries to be filmed. It's great as a teaching tool, but if you screw up, it ends up online for the whole world to see. Your mistakes will be scrutinized, analyzed, studied, written about, argued over, watched, and rewatched. We all make mistakes. We all have moments when we weren't the best surgeon or even the best person. We all have moments we'd rather not relive. There are certain moments in my life that I wish I could relive. First day of internship, first solo surgery, first time I held my children in my arms, the last lucid conversation I had with my mother. But for every one of those, there's one wish I could forget or do differently. Those are the moments that keep me up at night. And no matter what I do, they keep coming back to haunt me. Meredith Grey.
All right. And the second one, unless you're paid to be there, no one ever wants to go into an OR. It's freezing, you're naked, and a stranger will be cutting into your body with knives. But what patients don't know and what we try to keep them from knowing is sometimes it's just as terrifying for us. Okay, yeah, I don't want to know that about my surgeon.
Same, not at all.
Okay. Traumas, heart surgery, anything to do with the pancreas. Any surgeon who says they're not afraid of those is lying. But no matter how risky the surgery, no matter how scared you might be, your job is to reassure your patient and tell them everything is going to be okay, whether you believe it or not. Sometimes surgeries go better than planned. There's no better gift you can give someone than saying you've saved the person they love. I look forward to those moments. Unfortunately, those perfect outcomes are rare. You would think it gets easier, but it doesn't. Each one hurts just as much as the last one. So we hope for the best and prepare for the worst, because the worst has a nasty way of finding you. Meredith Grey.
Shotgun workup. We've got Richard Weber, cobalt poisoning.
Vera Catano, Lisfranc injury, tension pneumothorax.
Guthrie Hamilton, primary medulloblastoma, drop met.
Amelia Shepherd, pregnancy, and Braxton Hicks.
Dia Berman, Mobius syndrome.
And CJ Madison, impaled object. I'm going to read the first round. We split them up into episodes again. So
yep.
Emotions run high at the hospital as Tom Krasick's ex-wife comes in with her 10-year-old son, Guthrie, who looks identical to her and Tom's son, David, who passed away when he was 10. Guthrie has a brain tumor that has attached itself to the spine, and Tom's ex-wife wants him to operate. Tom is incredibly emotional and finds that he cannot do it because of how much he looks like David. He asks Amelia to step in, and when Amelia is about halfway through the surgery, she begins to have Braxton Hicks and thinks she is going into labor. Tom has to jump back in with the helpful guidance of Teddy during a panic attack. He saves Guthrie's life. Meanwhile, everyone is researching and trying to figure out what is wrong with Richard. He's finally at the hospital, but he's having mood swings. He's calling people by the wrong name. He's having trouble doing simple tasks, and he's making references to things of the past like Ellis, Adele, and Seattle Grace Hospital. Meredith even found him in the OR about to cut into his own abdomen, thinking he was about to do a surgery. Although DeLuca has been asked by Bailey to leave the hospital, he is found by Meredith in a research room trying to figure out what's wrong with Richard. Meredith decides she needs to ask for his help, and together they work on finding out what could be wrong with him.
Catherine and Maggie and many of the other doctors all firmly believe that Richard is struggling with Alzheimer's. They decide to take Richard back home instead of testing and prodding him more, and Meredith is very against this. And as she's trying to tell them that they need to wait, Richard mentions numbness in his toes and fingers. They do a quick nerve test and find out that his nervous system is failing, which is not something that is indicative of Alzheimer's. The team is about to cut into Richard when DeLuca comes bursting into the OR and tells them that Richard's hip replacement surgery was made out of cobalt and that the metal poisoning test they did not test for that metal. His hip replacement must be falling apart and the cobalt is leaking into his bloodstream, causing all of the mental and physical issues. DeLuca is right, and they immediately pull Link away from Amelia, who is in active labor, to remove the hip replacement and give him a new one. While Richard is in surgery, Amelia is giving birth to their baby, and Bailey is stepping in to help. She ends up sitting right behind Amelia, just like George did for her when Tuck was born. Maggie and Owen are operating together when Owen gets a voicemail from Teddy. The two of them were planning a small intimate wedding after work that day, and Owen assumes that the voicemail must be in regards to the wedding. When he asks Levi to press play, we hear Teddy having sex. Owen immediately laughs it off and says it must be a wedding gift, although he looks worried. Earlier that day, Tom had told Teddy he loved her and she reciprocated, and he said to meet him in the parking lot and he would take her away. Instead, she went with him and they had sex one last time. We hear in the voicemail when Owen listens to it on his own that she told Tom she wasn't going to leave with him, she was going to marry Owen, and that this was goodbye. Owen calls off the wedding and tells his family he got pulled into surgery. When Richard wakes up, he remembers who everyone is again and is answering all the questions correctly. Catherine comes in to celebrate with him, and Richard has no memory of her being around and helping him these last few weeks. He is still mad at her for filing for divorce and purchasing Pac North. Exhausted, Meredith heads out of the hospital to go home and sees Andrew sitting on the floor of the hallway crying. He says he doesn't know what is happening to him, and Meredith helps him get home. And then the season ends. Right. What is your first note, Bree?
Mine is Catherine actually there? For a second, I thought he was hallucinating again because she was like kind of like drifting in the doorway, you know, or was she holding his hand or were they, I don't know. I was just like, why is she here all of a sudden? But she was
like,
there.
Is this from Richard's POV? Old? That makes sense. Also, he's acting very loving towards her still. And he's like, you were there.
Yes.
Remember, like he's trying to convince her. Also, I was really impressed by her. Well, there was something she did that I was like, okay, Catherine, come on. But initially, when everyone is trying to get Richard to just sit down in the bed and she goes along with like what he's saying. And she's like, you did great on your talk, you know, whatever. Like she is leaning into his hallucinations in order to get him to do things. And I thought that was like, would probably be so hard. And I felt like she was being a very good caretaker. Then I feel like she got really mean towards everyone else. But I felt like initially, I remember there were times when, you know, Meredith would pretend, Richard would pretend to be in the past with Ellis and just like kind of like leaning into that and to not upset someone. And I thought that was nice of her. But then anyways.
No, I agree. Especially in that beginning part where he's kind of flustered and mm-hmm. she says to him, it's just a few tests, then we can go home. I know this is frustrating, and that calms him down. And
yes,
I think you're right that she did that throughout the two episodes. I mean, let's, do you want to just talk about Richard's, like, the whole way through?
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. Like, in, I love a good medical mystery. I feel like we had them in the early seasons sometimes too. And I love, like, all the doctors working together and, you know, them trying to narrow things out. I also felt that, and I'm jumping a little bit, but still about Richard, that like the part when they're going into surgery and Bailey's like, you can't be doing this, Meredith, like your family. And Meredith was like, everyone is family. Like there's not one person in this hospital that could operate on Richard without feeling that. And then when Boki did her prayer over him, I got a lot of GGBs.
I did too. She does the sign of the cross, which we've never seen her do, but it was very clear that this is such an important person to everyone in the hospital. I know. Boki.
It was, I just thought that part was like, you know, it's when they start listing all the things that Richard's been through, it's like, oh, and he was electrocuted and this. You're kind of like, okay, everyone in this hospital has nine lives. Like the stakes of this aren't very high. But there was an emotional aspect that I did feel like, obviously I know he's fine now, but like, you know, where you really like hope they're okay because you can't imagine the show without them. And just that he's been so such a big part of everyone's lives there that it trickled down to Boki, a scrub nurse, I thought was very beautiful.
I agree.
Just really loved that moment. It was subtle and perfect.
Do we have any memory or is there anything in the Grey's canon about Richard getting a hip replacement 3 years ago? That's not a part of the storyline, right?
No, I don't remember it happening. They kind of made it seem like it was just something he had to have done. But I don't remember. I guess I could look that up. I don't remember on the show it ever being part of a storyline.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. That's why I thought I would ask. But
I did go like Google cobalt hip replacements and like read a bunch about how they were doing that. That was a thing like that using cobalt because of I think it was cost or like something like it was and how they don't do that anymore, but there are like this is a real thing and there are people who some of them it's fine, but there are people who experience cobalt poisoning like even to a smaller degree and then they have to replace the hip again, which holy fuck, hip surgery looks like the most painful.
I think it's awful. I think it's absolutely horrible to get a hip replaced. And to look, I don't know why so often in this show we see skull flaps. We see them cutting into abdomens. We see a lot of trauma. But the sludge in Richard's hip.
That was disgusting.
Made me feel ill. I had to actually look away. And I remembered when seeing it for the first time. Like I was like, oh, this is that green. It was green and gross and clearly very, very infected. Like, the flesh was all eaten away and oh God. And the way they like move the hip joint around.
His leg.
Wild. It's like, it's almost like they take the leg and just like shake the body. That's what it looked like.
Yeah. And all of the hammering, which like I know they do. I mean, I know a lot of people who've had hip replacements and like you actually feel so much better afterwards compared to the pain of having a bad hip. I feel like it's just so much pounding.
Yeah. Orthopedic surgeons.
Being an orthopedic. Yeah. Orthopedic surgeon that must be in a little bit wild.
Yeah. It's really something. I think we should back up a little bit. Ultimately, Richard ends up okay. He doesn't have a tremor. He gets quizzed and he knows where he is and who everyone is. But before that, DeLuca is back. And I think it's important to like acknowledge that at first he comes in and kind of tells Bailey, like, I'm visiting a friend. I heard he's not well and like I'm at visiting hours. And so Bailey allows that. But then he starts to say loss of appetite, like add that to the list of symptoms. And Bailey is pissed off. What are you doing, DeLuca? And he's been in communication, I think, with that other doctor.
Yes, the one, the diagnostician.
Right. And so anyway, he ends up not leaving, like Bailey tells him to, and ends up working with Meredith. And although he's the one who makes the diagnosis, it's great. It's, again, Meredith and not paying attention to what is what the bigger picture is. Like, I feel like Maggie, too, is kind of like, and I know they had to do it in order for Richard to get the diagnosis, but at what cost then DeLuca ends up at the end on the ground being like, I don't know what's happening to me. He's very unwell, you know?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that also it's, I don't know how this works, but I know in life, a lot of things, like you can try to tell someone that they're at a rock bottom or that they need help, but they have to figure that out on their own. And I felt like if they just continued to push him away and tell him to rest and go home, I don't know that that was going to do anything. For sure. Like, I don't know that letting him overwork and not sleep was the answer either, but I feel like Meredith, you know, like listening to what he had to say and realizing that like he, the knowledge coming out of him is still valid. Mm-hmm. I felt like was made him at least feel safe with her or something. Like Bailey's attempt to get him to rest is not working and it's just not helpful. And I felt like, yeah, like she was not, Meredith was not aware of like, I feel like his health, but even like her advocating for him to be in the surgery that because it's a career diagnosis. Like I just at least felt that she was like, making him feel like he isn't, his knowledge isn't wrong. I don't know, but there's a balance, obviously. But I was at least glad that like they were taking him seriously a little bit.
Yeah. And then I was really nervous at the end. And I don't remember how season 17 starts, but when Meredith, like he's clearly very unwell and kind of her response is like, let's go home. I'm like, great, let's start there. But I really hope as a doctor, she like gets him to psych, gets him help. Like you just going home is probably not the best option, especially because there have been multiple incidences where he has shown you that he's not well. And your response to just be like, let's go home, Andrew. It's like, maybe let's go up to the fourth floor to psych like Joe did. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I viewed it. I guess that is probably true. And what a like smarter thing to do would be. I felt like I was glad that she at least was like taking, no one else was going to do anything for him. So like her taking care of him, I thought, I looked at it a little different, but I do think you're right. Like he definitely needs more serious help than just Meredith taking care of him. Like that is not enough. I just looked ahead. And again, if you, this is a spoilers podcast. He doesn't die until episode 7 of season 17. I think he does have to come back to work. And I think he's on medication. Like I think in the window of time between the two seasons, he gets, sure. it's implied that he gets help and he's a lot more stable. And then that the sex traffic or sorry, human trafficking situation comes up again.
Right.
But I think he's well, like, I think he's, they imply he got help is my,
yeah, thought. That, yeah, I think you're right. And they probably write that into the storyline and, who knows? Once again, this wasn't supposed to be
the
end. So that ending thing with Meredith taking him home, the next episode could have been a plan for something else. And we just never got that.
Yeah, I wonder what it would have been. I know. I bet. I wonder if they meant to show more of his journey on how he got better. But they like they had to do sort of a time jump, you know, because I don't think they my belief is that when they start season 17, it's not like COVID is starting to happen. I'm pretty sure like it's
they're in it. Exactly. So they obviously did a time jump. And yeah, I just wonder what DeLuca's story would have been. I wonder if they would have got if they would have written him out of the show had there not been COVID, if he would have been out of the show by the end of this season. Just right. So many like unknowns.
Yeah, if all of that crossover stuff would have continued, because it did feel like you had to really remember about that part for it to happen later. You know what I mean? Like that's like a patient storyline extending two seasons isn't very common.
No, and without there being any touch point of that. That's the thing that's I remember being frustrated in season 16 when this was coming out. That thing happened with Aunt Opal and human trafficking. And then there was no like nothing about it. No, even just mention of it. And I remember being like, what the fuck happened with that storyline? Why was that even put in here? And then we have to wait 7 episodes into season 17, which we know there was a huge break because of COVID. That's a long time as a viewer to have to wait to remember a storyline.
Yeah, my guess would be that it was supposed to happen at the end of this season.
I think it was
supposed to like tie all the loose ends, which, you know, if I ever get a meeting with someone who will give me a tell-all, that's a question I'd like to ask.
Yeah.
So it is, I feel like, redeeming. Also, he should become a diagnostician. He's good at it.
He
of things that people don't.
He is really good at it. I thought it was really interesting, the other part of this storyline, or one of the other parts, with Maggie coming to Meredith.
Mm, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And being like, everyone agrees it's Alzheimer's, and you don't. I did this to my mom, like, and you said this wasn't a great thing to do to my mother who was dying. And Meredith's like, we don't have a diagnosis, but Maggie says that they do. And so just that like disagreement. And then for Meredith to be right, I feel like it was such a vindication for her, but also for everyone, because no one wanted it to be Alzheimer's with Richard.
Right.
And I love that Meredith stuck to her guns and was like, I know that disease. I've seen it. This is not what that is. And she was right.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I understood Maggie's point, and like her, for sure, it was like coming out of a caring point of view. Mm-hmm. But it also was like, none of you are listening to Meredith. Like, you're just trying to like, well, we don't know what it is, so it's this.
Right.
I loved when Richard was, she was like, when Meredith's like, don't hold out on me. What's going on with your toes? You know, like, and he's like, yeah, I don't feel them. I'm just happy that he is okay. He's mad at Catherine though still.
Yeah. What do we think about that ending?
Understandable, I guess. I mean, like, he wasn't lucid, I'm assuming, in these past few weeks very well. I feel like it's kind of like, like Catherine had a lot of time to realize and come to terms and be like, I should have done this. I should have been better. But like, he wasn't given that time. It makes me think of that movie. Okay.
Oh no, here we go. Down the rabbit hole.
No, Kumail Nanjiani. Kumail, you know him? He made that movie about him and his wife.
The Big Sick.
Yes. And how like while Emily was in the coma, he had all of these experiences. He met her parents. He got close to them. He like thought she was going to die. He grieved her. And when she woke up, she was not in the same place as him because she didn't have that experience. I feel like similarly, Richard didn't have all this time to come to terms with things. So I can understand. I just wish they would just be happy. But maybe I don't know. I can't even remember if they are, to be honest.
I can't remember either. It is interesting that Catherine says that line, I think, to Jackson. I'll never leave him again, or I'll never do act the way I acted, whatever the line is. And then I feel like it's directly challenged right then when Richard snaps at her, because she could then choose to walk away, but will she stay and fight for him and ask for his forgiveness? And
ooh, good point. I hated when Catherine called everyone feckless interns, like when they were trying to figure out what was happening. I was like, also, aren't you a doctor, Catherine? Like, why aren't you researching things? You're a surgeon.
Yeah. Also, she called Jackson Jackie. Has she called him that before?
I think I've heard it once before when she was crying. Mm. She also told him that you smell like garbage fire in the beginning of the episode.
I didn't know about
which
that.
Was a funny line. Okay, can we talk about Tom and his ex-wife?
We can, but I have to say one last thing about Catherine.
Oh, yes.
She always has beautiful food and dishware around her. She's sitting in the conference room with like a beautiful teapot and china and plates of fresh fruit. How did she get all of this catered in? How does she have this china here? She always.
Money.
Yeah, that's true. Money. All you need
is
money.
She's so rich. Also interesting that, you know, when she thought she was going to have to take time off to take care of Richard, she asked Tom to play a larger role in the foundation, not Jackie, not Jackson, which we do know in season 17, Jackson ends up taking that part. Tom does go with him.
I was going to say, Tom does leave.
Yeah. Tom needs to solve racism. Remember.
I can't. We're not there yet, and I can't. Maybe it will hit different. I don't think it will.
No. So, yeah. Anyways, Tom is posting black squares on his Instagram and then he goes there. So, but we're not there yet. So we're in current Tom land, which I just think he could be a better character if they show more of this emotion that he can have and like lean into it. I really enjoyed this part. Like, I thought this was a creative storyline. Like the fact that his, you know, ex-wife has a kid who 50% of that child is her DNA. So it does look like their son. I thought that was really interesting, really creative, his emotional reaction. I just wish there'd been more moments of him and his ex-wife. I would have loved some like conversation. Like it almost got there at the end when they hugged but then he just walked away. And I would have liked some other conversation about grief or about just anything. And I just feel like there's like with the emotion with him, it's like we get a hint at it, but I want more and we just never get there.
I would agree with everything you said. And I don't even know if I have anything to really add because it's like it's almost a super touching story and you almost feel the ache of what Tom would feel losing his son.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. It's not quite there.
Yeah. I did think two parts. I like the shock on his face when he sees this kid was really brilliant just because like, can you imagine? It's like seeing a ghost. And then also I did like that he had this sort of reckoning that he's always thought all these years, if I'd gotten to the hospital sooner, I could have operated on my son and saved him. And he's now realizing like,
he couldn't.
This isn't even my, right. Like this isn't even my son and I'm paralyzed by this. Like I couldn't have done anything. And I thought that was probably healing in some way. I doubt it leans into it more, but I did think that that must be some sort of closure for him. I don't know.
So, yeah. And then that just got him somehow so horned up for Teddy that he.
Dude, Teddy is in the wrong. Like, sure, Tom should give it up.
Teddy's in the weeds. She is so thick in the weeds right now. She
is bad.
It's her wedding day and she's having sex to say goodbye. No. Teddy.
No.
You can't do that. It's not. I mean, it will come out eventually. And it did because you called your soon to be husband and left a voicemail of it. Ugh. Makes me want to throw up thinking about hearing that is how you find out that your fiance is cheating on you.
I hated hearing it all because I feel like in sex scenes on TV, like at least in Grey's, other shows, it's for sure like way more audible. But on Grey's, it's usually like cut to music. And like, you know what I mean? Like you just like you see it, but you're not hearing it. And I hated hearing Tom. Like I got like the ick. Like I just felt icky about it. And not because I'm like a prude. I just didn't, I don't know. It was weird. It was also so like the fact that she's just like, no, this is good. Goodbye. Like you bitch. I'm sorry, but like you can't it's mean to both of them. Like
it's so, so shitty. It's like I'm gonna fuck you. And then when you're like after you said that you were gonna drive away with me and go down the coast, and then after I sleep with you, I'm going to tell you actually, no, this has nothing to do with that. I'm gonna go marry that other guy. It's absurd.
It's wild. And then she puts on a white dress.
I know. She's so,
She's not in a good place.
She's not. And it's okay. We all make mistakes, but this is really not great. And
no, she literally tells Tom she loves him also. Like, it's not just about sex. Like, she says she loves him. And I just feel like she's trying to convince herself that marrying Owen is what she wants to do, which I can't remember how we come out of all of this. I know they do end up getting married, but like, ugh.
But in like right before that scene, her and Owen have sex and are telling each other how much they love each other.
Right. I was like, ugh!
And then decide to get married like on a whim and come out and tell Tom, and that's when Tom decides to say he'll be in the parking structure at 7 p.m. waiting in a getaway car.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of annoying with Tom because Teddy has children. Give it up. Just like, let's let it go. Let's just let it go. The other thing, I do have to say, good on Owen for holding it together during surgery and laughing it off as, oh, my fiance left me a nice gift.
Agreed.
I could not do that if I got that.
No, I felt so sad for him in that moment too. But like, it was so kind of him to like not put her under the bus and just like laugh it off to get through that surgery. But it was, also I thought it was really interesting. He says to Schmidt, to like basically suck up your feelings. Like you can't have feelings when you're doing this, whatever. And then goes into the room and like collapses and listens to this voicemail. So like he also is sort of doing, like he's compartmentalizing until he can like let it out. And that just made me really sad for him. And then seeing his mom just picking up all the decorations,
which were kind of cheesy, whatever.
Cheesy, yeah.
When his mother does tell Teddy that there's not going to be a wedding and that Owen had called and canceled, got pulled into a surgery, do you think that look on Teddy's face, not that she thought a voicemail got left, because like that's insane.
Yeah.
No one would think that that happened. But do you think she thought, oh, he knows something?
To me, it read as that. And also just like, am I relieved or am I sad? Like, how do I feel about this not happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm just, I'm the storyline.
I feel the same as you, though.
I
did too. I feel the same, though. I have no idea how we get out of this at all.
Yeah, I don't either. And how we end up with like snow. Him getting married. And then something happens at the wedding on a hill. Someone gets hurt.
Oh, yeah, she gets COVID. And that's when the snow thing is happening.
Oh, yeah. Remember when Tom gets COVID? I'm going to cry when he's alone in his house. Yeah. That is just so fucking sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. I want Tom to like somehow adopt a child or something. I don't know. I just like, he clearly was probably a better person when he had a kid.
Yeah. But he went through a pretty serious trauma. I think that losing a child
did something to him. Yeah. Also, was very surprised by his ex-wife. I didn't feel like that's the vibe Tom normally goes for.
Well, his life has changed. He lost a child, so he probably doesn't want anything like his ex-wife.
That's true. Okay, let's really quick hit on Amelia.
Uh-huh.
I loved everything she was saying while giving birth. Like, when mm-hmm. she goes, like, how do humans exist? Why do we do this? I do think it's always just so... inspirational is not the right word, but just like when she, I feel like she's just doing so well mentally right now, and like, to, you know, turn down any pain medication because of her addiction is just always like heartbreaking to me, but also like good on her for knowing herself. Yeah. Everything she said while giving birth made me laugh.
I really loved like the question of like, why do we do this? And Bailey's in there and Bailey pretty much says, two people love each other so much, they can't contain all that love, so they decide to take it and make a baby. And
I loved that.
And Amelia realizes that Bailey just had a miscarriage and is like, right. I am so sorry. You don't have to be here. And I loved Bailey's line that says, that would go against the rules of Pregnancy Club. And
I got such big GGBs.
Yeah, how supportive she is. And when Bailey got behind Amelia, I said, I want Dr. Bailey at my birth. I want her holding me up from behind. Like, you got this. Yes. Because we know that George did that for her. I love, too, that she's like, my husband wasn't at, like, the birth of our son either. And so I'm going to be there for you. And she's just the best. It was a really sweet scene.
Yeah, I loved that moment, too. I loved that callback. And I feel like she was so reluctant. I don't think that she didn't want to be there because of her miscarriage. I think she was just like, I want to go do surgery with Richard. Like, I'm busy. But then, like, the fact that she, like, did it anyways. And, I just think she's a great birthing partner. And I agree. I'd like her to be at mine if I ever have one. So,
yeah. I did feel bad for Link that he didn't.
Yeah, he missed out on that.
Yeah, he didn't get to have that opportunity.
I agree.
So he seemed very happy. Obviously, everyone, the baby's healthy and that's all great. But it is kind of shitty that Bailey walked in. It's like, you got to go do surgery. And then he missed the birth of his son.
I think what made it better was that like Amelia was like yes, that is more important. Like, you know what I mean? It was like her blessing of like, this is Richard. He's my friend. Please go do that. Like, I felt like if it hadn't been that, it'd just been like some random surgery, it would have been a little bit different. But it wasn't. I also liked the moment when they started freaking out about like, wait, I've been so worried about just like getting to this finish line, but like there is no finish line. Like now once the baby's out, anything can happen to it. And I feel like that is a very realistic like fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was great writing. Also, I loved the line when they, when she's in the first episode, she thinks she's in labor and it's Braxton Hicks, false labor. And then, and then she says, suddenly they hurt less.
Yeah. Oh, I loved that too. And I felt that I'm glad they all laughed because I'd be very embarrassed. I'd be like, yeah, yeah, it's okay. I'm fine.
Yeah, yeah. Also, when she's in surgery, did you notice that we finally hear about Nelson again, the neurosurgeon?
No.
So she's like, I'm in labor and she's doing that surgery on that kid. And the, she says, Paige Tom. And then Tom comes in and Tom's not doing well. And so I think it's Helm says like, do I need to like page Dr. Shepherd again? Or like we could have Nelson come in. And remember Nelson from when Dr.
His protege? His protege?
That was who Derek Shepherd. Like, remember him? He had glasses and no one ever like Shadow Shepherd. No one ever liked him. Like. His name is Nelson. Well, anyway, he still works there. So.
That's so funny. I thought they were talking about the like Tom's protege intern, but who's also never on the show. But no, that is funny. That's a good catch.
Shadow Shepherd is still being mentioned. So that was funny.
Shadow Shepherd. I also really liked when Amelia, like, although like surprised she like got so turned on by just making out with Link, but you know, she's like, ooh, wait, do that again. Like,
yeah,
just the idea of that helping like with pain. And Karina, I'd love to have Karina as an OB. I feel like she's great.
Oh yeah.
I just like, also, I feel like we've got, I don't know how you, I have nothing really to say about it, but Levi and Joe being roommates and her being like, no, I was treating you like, cause I'm your, you know, I'm ahead of you or whatever in the medical field. Like, I'm trying to help you be a better doctor, but please come be my roommate and let's watch movies. I thought they're a good little match.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, Nico's gone.
Oh, yeah. So he works for the Mariners.
Yeah. So he's gone right now, which great. And I wonder if that's why he comes back during COVID. Cause like maybe.
Probably. Oh, yeah. Baseball doesn't exist.
Yeah. So I bet that's how he comes back.
We are problem solvers. That makes sense. Yeah, I don't have anything else. Do you?
Oh, the one other thing. This is a random storyline. What did you think about the lady who had musicophilia?
I don't know.
Where she was singing everything to her husband.
I thought it was dumb, but then when he tried to sing back, that was cute. Like, I was like, oh. But also, I would be so annoyed. I don't
why, know how that why finishes. Why is there music everywhere? No, I don't know. I think she just... here's music and everything now. And that's how it ended. And like, it was really weird too when it ended and they were singing at each other and Link and Owen were just like smiling, like, yeah.
Standing there.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys, you're so in love. I didn't really care for any of like the patient storylines in
no,
these.
No, I didn't either. Also, I think it's important to know Winston is still texting Maggie. Mm-hmm. I loved when, is it Levi goes, what's a Winston? Like, which I thought was so funny. I also laughed at the kid asking Helm what, if she could only have one food for the rest of her life, what it would be. And first she says hummus and then she says brie cheese.
Uh-huh.
Which is interesting because like if I'm going to eat brie, I also need a cracker.
Yeah, I'm not just going to eat
like, fig.
Brie cheese.
Yeah. It's gross. It like doesn't have a flavor, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
What's yours? If you could eat one food.
Pickle.
Just a pickle.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
That it's one food, so it would be a pickle. It's my favorite food.
I feel like, can I say pizza?
Yeah, I guess. Like, you can't, like, then if deconstruct it, and, like, you would have to eat pizza, I feel like.
Yeah, I think pizza for me would cover all the bases.
Pizza, interesting. No, I'm still going to stick with pickle or a turkey sandwich because then maybe there's a pickle on there. But again, I can't deconstruct it. So,
but you get it in the bite. Yeah, I was going to say a Subway sub or something like that, too.
Subway sub for, sure. For the rest of your life. That's it. Subway
sub. Dude, I love Subway. Okay, let's do notes and trivia. I will start. And this episode's title originated from the song Sing It Again, originally sung by Planet Shakers.
I read that as the Plant Shakers. That doesn't even say that at all. There's no "the" in there. This episode scored 7.18 million viewers.
It's revealed that Richard is 65 years old. I also had that as a note. I was like, wow, we know his age.
This episode's title originated from the song Put on a Happy Face, originally from the musical Bye Bye Buddy. Sing a lot.
Did you do that musical?
Yeah, I did. I was Deborah Sue.
I wasn't in that one. This episode scored 7.33 million viewers, a season high.
This is the final episode, which was filmed before COVID-19 forced them to shut down production, which led to it becoming the finale for the season.
This is the first season finale since Family Affair not to be directed by Debbie Allen.
It's the first season finale ever not to feature Justin Chambers as Alex Karev.
This is the only season finale of the series not to air in May.
This is the last episode for Alexandra Patsavas, the show's music supervisor since, wow, season one. That's wild.
I know. Okay, I'm going to make a thing here. I wonder if that's why the music gets so bad season seven.
Yeah.
Because I felt like the music choices were good in this finale. And I read that note and I was like, oh, well, that checks out.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The scene where Bailey sits behind Amelia because Link wasn't in the room is parallel to when George sat behind Bailey when Tucker wasn't there when she was giving birth in As We Know It.
This is the fifth time a season finale contains a wedding, following the finales of season 3, 11, 12, and 14. But there wasn't actually a wedding, so.
No. Catherine Fox Award. I kind of want to give it to DeLuca.
I was going to say that. I mean, he made the diagnosis, so Richard wouldn't be here if it weren't for Andrew DeLuca.
Exactly. Rating it, I'm going to give it a 7. I liked it much better than last week's. And I was wanting to keep watching. You know what I mean? Like, I immediately wanted to put on season 17 just to, like, keep going.
Yeah, I feel
good. The cliffhangers were good.
Yeah, I definitely want to know about, like, Teddy and Owen, how that's going to get wrapped up and what's going to happen with DeLuca. So, yeah, I would go with 7.
Great. All right. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please stick around for post-op. We'll let you know when we start season 17 and how we're going to do that. So keep a lookout on our Instagram for us. But Time of Death is 1944.
Beep.